Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dean Murphy, who has written a fascinating book called The Devil's Poison, How Fluoride is Killing You. Well, that's sort of a provocative cover. After all, fluoride, we're told, is one of the great miracles of modern times. It's wonderful for children's teeth, and is it possible that everything we've been told by our doctors, by our dentists, by the public health service, by government officials is a lie? Is it possible we're actually being poisoned? Well, of course, for many years I heard rumors about the dangers of fluoride, but when you're in a busy medical practice, you don't have time to go back and read the literature. And if everybody is telling you how great fluoride is, why, it must be good, mustn't it? And after all, as an orthopedic surgeon, why, we were worried about softening of the bones, and so we would have patients, elderly women, who would have osteoporosis and multiple fractures, and we'd give them a combination of fluoride and calcium and vitamin D, and they got better, and so we must have been helping them, weren't we? We certainly wouldn't do anything intentionally to hurt anybody, not in a million years, but is it possible that we've been lied to? Well, I think that after you've heard our program this evening, you'll understand that we've been lied to on this and many other issues. And that's, of course, people say to me, well, you say that this current economic crisis is created. Why would anybody in their right mind want to create a crisis that would destroy our currency and destroy our economy and destroy the lives of millions of Americans? And I would answer, why would anybody want to prescribe a water additives that has been forced upon 68% of our population that would destroy the lives of our children and our elderly? And, well, with that as a background, Dean, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a privilege.
Well, it's basically, of course, you started out, I mean, I sure as a regular routine. Are you a dentist or orthodontist?
I'm an orthodontist. But of course, I have to get a degree in dentistry first. So,
well, what did you think when your friend told you that there was something wrong with fluoride? I mean, how could that be? I mean, you learned in your dental school, just like learned it. I learned in my medical school. This was a wonderful product.
Yeah, it was. Dentistry is, and it's still taught that way. And that's why I always tell people that are, you know, really on their dentist or on their surgeons about their stance on fluoride, whether it's for or against it, that's how they're taught. You know, that's how we go through school and we're taught that way. And it takes a really heroic effort of research to go back and look at the subject and dig and dig very deep to find the truth. And if you don't look for it, you're not going to find it.
How long did it take you to find the truth?
I've been digging for almost 15 years, and the first 12 years, I just collected data and just kept reading, because it was so huge.
And really, it's really sort of exciting when you suddenly begin to realize everything you've ever learned has been wrong, at least on this subject, and
yes,
it must have been really fascinating. You've done a wonderful job. I've really enjoyed reading your book. All the research you've done on the background of this, and certainly there's so much literature out there, some of it designed to confuse, and some of it, you know, most of it great literature coming from other places, but even the people at the EPA who work with this demand that they have, whatever happened to that lawsuit they had where they demanded that they get fluoride-free water, did they ever get it?
Yeah, they did.
So the people at the EPA, of course, they don't want to drink fluoridated water. They know that it's going to poison them, but, well, of course, there's nothing they can do about poisoning you and your children.
No.
Will you pick up the story there?
Okay. The EPA actually held together a union called the National Treasury Union, and William Hersey, who was the president of that union, or the treasurer at the time, I think he was the president, they ended up finding all kinds of negative data about fluorine and fluorine in the water and the different diseases that it was causing. And it was the Treasury Union that got together, and they're composed of lawyers, and most of them have got PhDs in biochemistry, chemistry, all kinds of, I mean, they're very advanced degreed people. And they got together and said, this stuff is a poison. And instead of really making it public, they tried to keep it amongst themselves in the beginning, and then started fighting when certain individuals started coming out and really protesting that their studies that they were coming up with were being, I'll just say, edited and never really getting to the point. And they felt that there was too much public pressure, not public pressure, but political pressure, to squash this idea of fluorine is bad in the water. And so they ended up having their own lawsuit against their employers, saying that we want to have non-fluoridated water as a drinking, in our drinking containers or coolers in the office, so that we don't have to drink it. So there was that's an amazing eye opener. But William Hersey's gone before Congress. He's fought for the reopening of the issue, and it just seems like it constantly gets buried, that nothing ever really happens to these commissions that are created. It just seems like they're so politically entrenched that the truth gets buried, and it's a shame, because even our own EPA is screaming about the dangers of fluoride.
Well, now, has the EPA actually come out, the official organization come out officially and oppose water fluoridation? Because they could stop it tomorrow if they wanted. They just don't want to. Obviously, the people in positions of power really do want to continue poisoning our children.
Yeah, I think you can write a book on that subject alone. You're right. They feel like that the Treasury Union employees there feel like they are under political pressure from higher ups to really squelch their negativism on.
Hold that thought. Hold up. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Dean Murphy's our guest. Of course, his book is called The Devil's Poison, talking about water fluoridation. Oh, fluoride at all, we've got so much of it. They spray our vegetables with it. They spray our fruits with it. It's in our wine. It's in pablum. It's in things that are given to children. They put it in our medicines. I mean, it is a terribly toxic substance that poisons literally every animal in the world and every human being in the world, and yet we're putting in our drinking water, which really doesn't make sense. Now, Adina is simply talking about the EPA, and of course they have a union. It's called the National Treasurers Union, isn't it? NTEU.
Right, National Treasuries Employees Union.
Yeah. All right, NTEU, National Treasuries Employees Union. You go to their website. It's NTEU280. And I believe it's org. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so.
NTEU280.org, and go to that website and look what the people who work for the EPA are trying to do. They've tried to get this out to the public. They really have, but they've been blocked. They've tried to get it to the members of Congress, but Congress either isn't getting the information or they're afraid to act. But you're being poisoned. They know you're being poisoned. The average dentist, the average doctor doesn't know, and it's really our job to get the information out. So I'm going to let Dean sort of start talking about how the fluoride poisons our every aspect of the human body. It's one of the most deadly poisons known to mankind. So why are they putting it on drinking water?
That's a good question. I think when I was going through all the literature, and it was just overwhelming, and I had to get back to the basics. That was the only way I can follow the path that I thought was the truthful one or the right one. I had to get back to the basics on what fluorine is, where is it going, and then you can figure out the disease processes that it can cause. First of all, that fluorine is the most electronegative element on the periodic table. I mean, Linus Pauling designed the table where the highly electronegative elements are on the upper right-hand corner, and fluorine is the king. It is the ruler. And many times you'll find, even in literature, that they describe fluorine as a mineral, and it is absolutely not a mineral. It's a halogen, and as a halogen, is the king of the halogens. And so it will displace other halogens for the binding sites, in different enzymes in different organs. And so that means iodine and even chlorine. It will bounce that. Also, fluorine is missing an electron from its 2p orbital shell, which makes it extremely hungry for electrons. The second highest element that's so hungry for electrons would be singlet oxygen, and singlet oxygen is known to cause many diseases. We would call that a free radical. So fluorine is the most free radical in an elemental state. It's also very, very small. It's got an atomic radius near hydrogen, so it can go anywhere. It permeates anywhere, including the placenta, including the blood-brain barrier. Is a compound, it forms an ionic bond instead of a covalent bond. So many of these bonds that fluorine attaches to in different proteins and different fats, it can't be broken many times by the body because it will form a very tough bond with carbon. And many of the enzymes that we naturally have won't be able to break, the body can't break down that fluorine-carbon type of bond. It's also, it accumulates. And that was probably the most disturbing thing that I came across, was that if we were ingesting it and we were excreting it at the same rate, I think we can pass it off as something that's just, it's there, it's poisonous, but it's going through us, so we may be able to get away with it, but it doesn't. It accumulates. And even low doses chronically build up, and it just takes time. It could take 10 years, it could take 20 years, it could take 50 years, but eventually it'll reach a level where it starts causing havoc. And I think those are the basics that really started to open my eyes to what this thing is. And then in my research, I started going back in history, started really looking at the early studies that were being done, because it's amazing how before about 1940, anything that you found before that, both in this country and other countries, foreign literature, you would always find that fluorine was a terrible poison. It was always being, discovered that it was causing problems in animals, problems with people, different disease sites. But around 1940 to 1945, this idea started to creep in that, hey, this thing might be good for teeth. And as a dentist, that's really what I focused on in the beginning was teeth and what's it really doing with teeth themselves. And then once I was able to figure that out, then I was able to apply it to other different organ systems too.
All right, fine. Of course, the thing is that there was a very specific reason that they wanted this used. They actually started out, I think it was 1945, with a study. 1950, they interrupted the 10-year study at 5 years to say, oh, this is the most wonderful thing. We found definite evidence of how it helps children's teeth. And so then they began putting this routinely in water, and they've been pushing it ever since. Well, what's the real agenda behind this? Because they know it's harmful. They know it's harming children. They know it's harming mothers. They know it's harming adults. Why are they doing this? Because it attacks the bones. It attacks the mind. It attacks the reproduction. It attacks the endocrine system. It attacks the enzyme. It attacks the pituitary. It attacks the heart. It attacks every organ in the body, and actually it is a deadly poison. Why would they be putting that into our drinking water? That doesn't make sense.
That was my last chapter in the book, was why fluorine. When I try to explain this to people, I try to get through the part that it's a monumental leap to go from, this is not a godsend, this is not one of the 10 favorite or best public health measures ever in the history, to it's a poison. I mean, to go from it's a great thing to a poison is a huge leap. And then to go from it's a poison, okay, well, maybe it's there by accident, maybe it's there by really for money. People that are trying to dispose of a rotten product, instead of being fined for it, we're going to try and sell it back to the people by putting it in their water. A lot of people are hung up at that level. And then if you dig deeper, you find out that maybe there's something more to it, that actually it was an intentional poison, and it is an intentional poison. You'll get more into the subject of eugenics, and also mind control, because many studies that I found, people that I have spoken to personally have told me that fluorine was used not only in, you know, not only in World War II, but in the Korean War that I know of. It was used in prisoners of war, and basically it was used to keep the prisoners not only sterile, but also to keep them from desire to break out. And that was kind of a big eye-opener that I spent a few years at trying to walk through that whole process of what it was doing there. And it causes brain damage. There's no doubt about that. Teeth are really calcified neurons. When you really look at what a tooth is, it is derived from the same neural ectoderm that the brain cells are derived from. And except the teeth form a calcified recording of really things that were ingested at the time those teeth were being made. Just like rings on a tree, I say, that's where you can tell that the fluorine was exposed, the teeth were exposed to the fluorine at this age. And when you look at the different developments of teeth, you can tell when that person was exposed to the high fluorine levels. So it really is a form of brain damage, particularly the cortex and the hippocampus.
And how about the pituitary?
And the pituitary.
Why? I mean, here we're putting something in the drinking water that's poisoning the American people. I was just very interested. I just went up on the National Treasury Employees Union's webpage to try to see if I could pull down the information they have on water fluoridation. And it used to be you could go directly to the page. Now you type that in and you go to the page and it says can't be found. We've done it two or three times. Obviously, somebody's blocking access to this information. We do have it available through my ministry. We have exactly what the NTEU put out. But somebody's playing games with the Internet. Somebody's censoring the information. The last thing they really want the American people to know is they're poisoning us. And if you want to get that report, it's available through Radio Liberty. If you get something else from us, we'll be glad to send it along. So, certainly, as you've gone through, what is the effect of the fluoride on fertility?
There's many different studies, both first in animals and then and more recently in China, where they have found, and also in India. Dr. Sushila in India has done a lot of collected a lot of data on just people exposed to natural fluorine in groundwater, which is very different than sodium fluoride or sodium fluoride silicates, showing that the seminiferous tubules will actually atrophy. Instead of producing normal sperm, the sperm will have no tails, or they'll have double-headed sperm in very, very reduced numbers. It also will interfere with the testosterone levels. I have different articles of newspapers that looked back at Grand Rapids after they were fluoridated, and also Racine, and looked at really the different levels of birth rates and what happened to things like stillborns after these towns were fluoridated, and they found dramatic increases of children that were born, you know, defective, if you want to summarize that, or they were stillborn. So not only is it stopping fertility, but it's also harming the developing fetus.
And not only that, it markedly increased the incidence of Down's disease. They know this, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Yeah, but of course, you're not going to read this, and you can't even get to the Treasury Employees Union's website, you know, on fluoride. Somebody's blocking access to information. Oh, I wonder who.
Yeah, that's recent.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dean Murphy. So, Dean, you go right ahead. We were talking about fertility and how really, of course, your decrease in fertility lowers the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Over in China, but in areas where, of course, the pregnant women are contaminated by the fumes that come from burning coal. They burn coal as a means of keeping warm, and it increases the level of the fluoride in their systems. And of course, there's an increased incidence of stillborn children. They examine their brains. They find that the mitochondria and the cells of the brain are just not functioning right. There's an alteration of the brain cells for these children exposed to fluoride intra utero. Actually, they've done a lot of studies just comparing children children, school children in areas where the water is fluoridated and where it's not. And all the difference in the world, you take off 10 points from the IQ. And that's not so bad if you've got an IQ of 160. But what happens if you have an IQ of 80 and you go from 80 down to 70? And we actually have a DVD, pictures that were shot by our friend over in China. And you can just look at the children. The children in the areas where they're fluoridated, they're just sort of non-reactive. They sort of stand around with a blank stare on their faces. And then in the areas where they've taken the fluoride out of the water, happy, laughing, playing children. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what they're doing to our children today. And they know what they're doing. And that is what's so pretty so tragic about this whole story. Now, if you're out in the listening audience, you have a question for Dr. Murphy, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Dean, what sort of luck have you had getting? First of all, how did you hear about us? You sent me a book and a nice little entry in the front of it, and this is how we got in touch with you. How did you hear about our ministry and our work trying to expose the fact that they're poisoning our children?
I came across you, I believe, on the internet, probably a couple years ago, and I contacted your organization, and you sent me a copy of your book that you had put together on fluorine back then. I was interested to see what you had dug up.
No, that was the hidden agenda, right?
Right.
And what did you find it interesting?
Yes, I did. It was very interesting. I loved your letters that you had compiled there from all over the world on why different countries were not fluoridating their water and what their opinions were on the subject as well. So that's how I first got in touch with your organization, and then you had written a book on Freemasonry that I found interesting too. So I had heard you. I believe I have a DVD of yours too. Doing a talk somewhere, and I don't remember where.
Well, we talk on a lot of subjects, but this is a subject very close to my heart because I used to prescribe fluoride. Fortunately, I could never get the large amounts we were supposed to, so I don't think the amounts I gave probably did much of any harm, and we covered it with large doses of calcium and tremendous doses of vitamin D, which really are helpful to people with osteoporosis. But
yes.
I hate to think, you know, that harm I might have done if I'd been able to get the adequate doses of fluoride for these elderly people.
Yes.
Well, anyway, of course, what sort of reception are you getting from the fellow dentists? You know, here you are, you're challenging everything they believe.
Yeah, and some dentists, it's interesting, because some dentists, they kind of run from me. They've already heard my stance from somebody, usually some patient or some other, and they run from me. They want nothing to do with it, and it's like they don't want to know kind of attitude. And others are very interested. They've heard the controversy for so long, they're asking me questions, wanting the book, wanting to read more and more about it, where they can find more information out about it. So it's a very divisive subject.
It sure is, and of course I can tell you I was in a referral practice, as you are, and of course it certainly cut into my referral practice for taking a stand on issues, but of course I did it because it was the right thing to do.
Right.
And I'm sure this is why you did it as well. It doesn't help the bottom line, but in the final analysis, you'll sleep a lot better. Well, let's go ahead and see what Mike wants. We have Mike calling us from Santa Cruz. Mike, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. I want to ask about lead poisoning.
Well, that's a little off the subject of fluoride.
No, it's very much on.
All right, fine, go ahead.
I hear the music.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, with the health authorities, such as they are, have been making such a big issue for decades now about lead poisoning from paint. While all along, now the lead poisoning from paint, I would contend, is not really a problem since it's a solid and it passes through the systems of children who chew that stuff. And while all along we've had fluoride leaching lead from the solder joints and copper pipe.
And of course, that's Dr. Roger Masters' work there back at Dartmouth. And he found, of course, in the areas where they fluoridated the water, a tremendous increase of criminal activity because of the toxic effects of the lead from the water fluoridation. Right. Hang on there. We'll be right back. Okay, did you have any sort of a question, Mike?
Well, summarize my point, I wanted to verify with your guest, was that fluoride, as I've been coming to understand for a number of years now, fluoride leaches the lead from copper piping systems, and it comes into the body in a poisonous, volatile form.
All right, fine. Dean, are you acquainted with Dr. Master's work back there at Dartmouth?
Dartmouth, yeah, it was a 2000 study.
Right.
For one thing is the silicates, the fluorosilicates they were using, were coming from phosphate fertilizer plants, and they were lead contaminated. And there's another study done, it's in my book. I can't come up with it off the top of my head, but I know they were from Japan, who looked at the different lead levels from municipalities that were fluoridated and were not, and found in a very, very large sample size that the children coming from the non-fluoridated municipalities actually had much lower lead levels. So it's not just coming from the pipes that are disintegrating or the solder in the pipes, but it's coming from the silicates too. And one other thing that fluoride does is that it increases the absorption of the lead. So it's not just what you're taking in, it's what's being absorbed by the intestinal tract. Fluorine causes a lot of inflammation, and once it causes that inflammation, then other toxic agents like arsenic, lead can actually increase the absorption that way.
A very interesting point. Anything else, Mike? I think that's a very, very good point. Go ahead.
One little additional aspect of all this is that some 15 years or so ago, lead was taken out of the solder that's used in copper pipes.
Right.
Very quietly, they just took it out and said, well, you know, it just shouldn't be there. But
it shouldn't
say why.
It shouldn't be in there because, of course, it was getting into our systems. But a dramatic increase, of course, in criminal behavior in areas where they're fluoridating the water with hydrofluorosilicic acid. That was what Roger Masters at Dartmouth was studying. We've interviewed him, and we have his material. I think your point's well made. God bless. Thanks so much, Mike. Well, let's go, of course, to Russell, who's calling us now from Albany, New York. Hi, Russell. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. I'd like to tell a story about fluoride in my teeth. It's a very short story.
All right. Go ahead.
My story is like this. I got my first cavities when I was 34 years old, and what the thing is like, if for a few years there, I was always getting sick, and I always thought it was the fluoride in the toothpaste.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Russell calling us from New York. Of course, our guest is Dean Murphy, Dr. Dean Murphy, his book, The Devil's Poison, and Russell has a quick story he wants to tell us. He had his first cavity when he was 34. Go ahead.
Yes, and like for a few years, I was always getting sick, I thought, on the fluoride toothpaste. So I went a whole year without fluoride toothpaste, and then I finally got a cavity, and me and the dentist couldn't figure out why I got the cavity, because I always had excellent teeth. And the only conclusion we could both come up with, it was supposedly the year I went without fluoride toothpaste for a year. Now, what do you think about that story? Do you think there's any truth to that?
Yeah, I do. Fluorine blocks the metabolism of sugar. I mean, it poisons the bacteria that are in your mouth, that are producing the acids that will dissolve the enamel and cause the cavities. But so will strychnine, so will arsenic, and you wouldn't think about putting those types of poisons on your teeth in those low concentrations, and that would do the same thing. It would kill the bacteria. You wouldn't end up with fewer and fewer cavities. One of the basic underlying problems is there's too much sugar being consumed in this country. It's over 159 pounds per year, and that's Department of Agriculture, and that's old information. That's 1999, and it's that graph is just skyrocketing. It's going up linearly. So a real problem, the problem that I'm having with mothers and children when I'm working on them is we are getting way too much sugar and refined carbohydrates in our diet, and the fluorine is helping that. It's poisoning them. So you can't just go cold turkey and say I'm going to get rid of the fluorine and not
not really look at my diet.
And I think that's such a valid point. And I will tell you, Russell, I had the same problem when I gave up fluoridated toothpaste. So I use it, but of course I rinse my mouth off very well. I realize, of course, it's a terrible poison. But of course, you know, what you want to do is you quit using anything. Of course, it's going to promote the fluoride. And the dental studies show that fluoride does not work by being taken internally. It only works locally. And there, of course, is the problem then. They're not telling the American people. So if it doesn't work internally, why are we using it internally? Thanks so much. Anything else you want to say, Russell, before we let you go?
What do you think about those alternative toothpaste, like Tom's from Maine and stuff, that famous one?
Yeah, I tell you what, I got off of the fluoridated toothpaste. I got cavities and went back on the fluoridated toothpaste. But believe me, I sure washed my mouth out very well afterwards. Thank you so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Good point. Let's go to Mark, who's calling us from Albany, New York. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Dr. Dan, Dr. Dean. My question is, I recently left a job, and I probably shouldn't mention the company.
Well, we just assumed that you didn't, so go ahead. Why?
Company, and we made Teflon membrane.
Right.
Is the fluorine an element in Teflon? I believe it is.
It sure is, yeah. In fact, that's one reason you shouldn't be using Teflon.
Yeah, okay, and let me briefly, without trying to get myself in trouble, people at the company, it's a very small company, their behavior, I don't know if you said it just the mind, their behavior, including myself, very radical, very aggressive. Is that a common trait for fluorine?
What about that, Dean? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I have a whole chapter in the book on fluorine and Teflon-type products, and if you can also correlate it with the drugs that are out there too, the Prozac and the Paxil and the fluorine that's in those drugs. And I have a trail out that recent attack of the woman last week from the chimpanzee that was out, and I believe it was the East Coast, where she had given that chimp, that 200-pound chimp, some Paxil that morning, and then all of a sudden it's attacking her friend, you know, the neighbor, and the chimp had never done that before. But you can go through, and in the book I have countless stories of those psychotic-type drugs that are fluoridated. And the chronic dosing, the slow building up of those dosing, it does affect the brain, and it stays around. And usually you can correlate it with some type of aggressive type of behavior, or very you can't control your emotion type of behavior.
And I think that's a very good point, and I certainly agree. Anything else, Mark?
Yes, the chemical, this is the quick procedure. It's Teflon, raw Teflon, mixed with a hot solvent. The hot solvent is mineral spirit. It's a two-stage process. And then it's cooled off with more of the solvent, but other solvent is cooled. It's not heated. One is heated at 153 or 153.
Are the vapors that come off of it?
Sorry?
Are there vapors? In other words, odor that comes off of it, smell.
That's what I was wondering. And also, the second stage is mixed with sodium bicarbonate. Is that going to affect, does that matter at all also?
Any thoughts on it, Tom? Dean?
I would think that would help neutralize some of the, you know, just the basic element in sodium bicarbonate will help neutralize some of the effect of the fluoride.
But of course, one of the big problems, of course, has been plants that, of course, are putting fluoride into the air, and certainly the crops in the area, the fruit in the area, the animals in the area got very, very ill. We've got a great deal of information on that. We carry another book, and I think we're probably going to carry Dean's book as well. But I want to thank you so much for calling, Mark, and I think you're far better off. Maybe you didn't want to lose your job there, but I will tell you, you should not be working in that plant. Okay?
Great.
God bless.
Thank you very much.
Okay, fine. Now we've got Vince calling from Oleanda. Looks like Oleanda, New York, but our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But before we go on, Dean, do you have a website or any information you'd like to get out? I think that we're probably going to carry your book. It's excellent. I think you've done a great job on it. We need something that's short and to the point. But do you have any information you'd like to get out to our listeners?
Yeah, I have my website's
devilspoison.com. And if anybody's interested in emailing me, I can be reached at devilspoison@gmail.com.
All right, that's devilspoison.com and devilspoison@gmail.com.
Yeah, for any questions that people may have.
All right, fine. And let's go to, we've got Vince. What town are you in there in New York?
Oleander.
Oleander, okay, they spelled it right. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I do. I do have a question. You keep saying that they're doing it, they're poisoning us, they are doing this, that. Who exactly are they? Is it the government, the EPA? Who exactly is it? And how are they getting it into all of these, all of the water supplies?
All right, fine. Do you want to take that on, Dean? And then after you've had what you think, and I'll tell what I think.
Okay. In my book, I have... Are you there?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah. In my book, I have in the last chapter on how to follow it, and I always say follow the money. Follow the money, and you usually find out who's behind it, because it's an extensive network. I think you need a lot of political connections, and I think you need a lot of money. Basically, the government behind the government that's doing this. I think that there's the Illuminati's involved, Freemasonry's involved with this, and some of the big bankers, and I think many of them are connected, and that's from my opinion. Dr. Stan may have an opinion on
it. I don't think I could have said it better. Have you actually read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness?
Yes, I did.
All right, fine. Well, I believe that it's these people. I believe that they control the U.S. Public Health Service and the CDC, very wicked people there. And there's some people who go along because they want to keep their jobs. But there are other people who really want to do harm. Because do you know a better way to destroy a nation than to destroy our children?
No.
All right, and I think that's really an excellent explanation. But they're poisoning our children with mercury, with the vaccines. They're poisoning us with the genetically modified food. They're poisoning us with aspartame. It's in so many things, especially for children, when they know how dangerous it is. And now, of course, they're destroying our nation financially. They're going to destroy our currency and impoverish our people. We're dealing with organized evil. Who are they? They're the ones who are doing it. And, of course, you read my book, you can get their names or read my newsletters. We name them. And we want to get the people of these organizations, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, do they all know what's going on? Absolutely not. But I believe they're energized by spiritual forces that do. And I believe that there is a supernatural that hates humanity and wants to destroy it. And I think that behind everything that's going on today is that eternal battle between good and evil. And right now, evil seems to be on the throne. Okay, Vince, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I had one more question
okay.
for you. You mentioned that they put the fluoride in water for the somehow mind control. Now, control for what? I mean, what exactly is coming up in the future that they would need to control us?
All right, do you want to take that, Dean?
Sure. I would say focus on the attack in the brain and on the cortex and the hippocampus. And I would refer you to Dr. Mullenix's study, because it's the best study on rats. And what it did was that it made the rats listless. It just made them sit there. The young were exposed to the fluoride. They were very hyperactive, and that's what we see today in our population. The old, they didn't want to learn. They just sat there, and which is why the Russians put it in the German prisoner of war camps, and the Germans were doing it to the Russians, and the communists were doing it to the Americans in Korea, was because they needed fewer guards to guard these prisoners. They didn't feel like breaking out. They sat there. So they would accept their situation, they would just sit there. And that's, if you step back and look at the American population, I'd say that's pretty much what we're doing, is we've lost our fight inside, and we're just accepting as things are handed to us.
And Vince, I would suggest my talk on the planned police state, and the syllabus goes with that. They'll give you all the documentation. They really do plan a police state. We've got material on concentration camps. In the special, you'll actually hear the congressman try to bring out that there is a plan in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and round up people and put them in concentration camps. But you're never going to hear that on 60 Minutes or 2020, that's for sure. I'll tell you what's coming down the line. We're moving into a police state. Anything else?
Oh, yeah, but I don't want to hog up all the airtime.
Okay, fine.
Time.
God bless.
Well,
thanks.
I'll give you a try another time.
All right, fine. Thanks very much. Let's go to Mr. Grinch from Albany. Hi, Mr. Grinch.
Hello.
Hi. Do you have a question or comment?
I'm a long-time admirer of your radio broadcasts. This has reference to the previous caller, Mark, in upstate New York in Albany.
Right.
I'm a pharmacist that worked for the government at one time. The two places he's referring to is one, Oxygen Enrichment in upstate New York. It was based off of Freeman's Bridge Road in Schenectady. And it manufactured during 1984 a premier oxygen enrichment device, which used a technique which was originally developed at the Rotterdam Industrial Park by GE. This was used for the fluorine membrane oxygen enrichment through normal atmospheric air so as to allow submarine rebreather units to function without volatile fluorine materials on board submarines. Mr. King devised a technique to develop a membrane which was uniquely patentable and was sold to the early 90s until a Taiwanese company recently put them out of work. Again, the name of the company is Oxygen Enrichment. It was run by a Mr. King.
Okay. What was the point you were trying to make?
The effects on people.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate your information. Was there a specific point you wanted to make?
It's quite obvious that fluorine, when involved with people who work around it, manufacturing the stuff, and our control group, all of these people that were actually making the membranes were ill-trained, high school-educated young women.
Right.
It was obvious it was some sort of, I don't know how to put it, uncontrolled experiment on the part of Mr. King to ascertain the effects of fluorine on females, particularly amongst breeding age.
Well, certainly we believe that they've been experimenting on the American people for almost 60 years now, and it's been with disastrous results. And
My experience was that I was also observing the effects onto it, but I wasn't actually involved in the manufacturing process.
Well, I
was there as a control to try to ascertain the effects it had on the people psychologically.
Right.
And I could ascertain that a lot of those young ladies who actually did manufacture the materials and were exposed to the fluorine had negative effects onto their psychology.
I
don't know what happened after I left the site in August of 95. The only thing I can say is it was quite literally a dangerous arrangement that they had to manufacture the Teflon membrane.
All right, fine.
The previous caller, Mark, described to you the technique and the manufacturing the Teflon membrane.
Right.
What he didn't say was, as many of these people doing it were ill-trained, ill-equipped, and often ate the material in the process of trying to make these membranes.
All right, well, I appreciate so much your calling, and thanks so very much. And let's, Dean, do you have any thoughts at all on what Mr. Grinch was saying from Albany?
No, it just sounds like if you take a close look at the Manhattan Project and what they were doing to the employees working in refining the uranium using fluorine and the sickness that came about with that, not only here but in Germany, through the IG Farb and company, you'll find very, very similar scenarios in the type of people and the diseases that happened to them.
And I think that's really very true. Well, this is one of the great tragedies of modern times, and the average person has no knowledge. This is why I do what I do, and I'm sure this is why you wrote your book, trying to get the information out.
Yes, right.
So anyway, of course, I really have enjoyed having you. I'm certainly going to try to get you onto some of our other programs, and I will be in touch with you. Do we get the book through you, or do we get through the publisher?
Either way. The publisher's Trafford.com, and they have it there.
All right.
Or you can contact me.
All right, fine. And so we'll try to track them down. Well, we've got a few minutes, so what are some of your other thoughts on this? What about as far as the attack on the enzymes in the body? What about the endocrine system?
Yeah, it's extremely complicated. Just enzymes are proteins, and I think the simplest way to think of it is that hydrogen bonding really connects and plays a very big role in the structure of proteins. And enzymes are primarily structural. And the fluorine has the strongest hydrogen bond known. Only nitrogen and oxygen form those hydrogen bonds. So not only will it affect the formation or the structure itself of the enzymes, which can cause all kinds of problems with the enzyme not working or it won't shut off in so many different enzymes, so many different organ systems. That would be the primary one. But then, you know, the protein also gets into DNA and RNA structure, the nucleic acids, as well as you start fingering a lot of the autoimmune responses that we have, that people have, fighting those abnormal proteins, abnormal protein shapes. But also it attacks the cofactors and enzymes, which is a big thing, which are usually the positive ions. Now, fluorine will gobble those up and really can cause a deficiency in those as well.
And I think people have to understand that fluoride is certainly the most active element in the world today.
That's right. And the body will do what it can to inoculate it or to make it harmless.
All right, fine. Well, you've got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
I would just like to say that
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. 1-800-730-9796, or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
And get the special PF2 filters, and they will actually take out most, about 95% of the fluoride in the drinking water. It's not going to do anything for the water you certainly swim in and take a shower in, but as far as the drinking water is concerned, the Berkey water filter and the PF2 filter, special designed to take out the fluoride, and they've done good scientific studies that show you get the majority of the fluoride out, so you certainly want to do that. But the biggest thing we've got to do is expose the danger of what they're doing. Now, actually, we have, of course, my talk. It's called The Hidden Agenda. It's a DVD and has an excellent syllabus, whether, even if I do so and I put it together. But The Hidden Agenda and, of course, the talk on The Hidden Agenda. And then, of course, we have 2 4-tape sets on water fluoridation. We actually have a couple of DVDs David Kennedy's put together, maybe even 3 DVDs. And, of course, if you call the exchange, they can get them for you. Some of these actually were taken over in China, where you'll actually see the difference between the children who drank fluoridated water and those who didn't. And then, of course, we carry a book, and the name I can't come up with, you can call and order it, and we'll have it for you. I think we're probably down the line going to carry Dean Murphy's book. I think it's excellent. He's done an excellent job. And of course, it's be easier to read than the big one that we have, although it's excellent as well. But you must understand that this was done specifically to cover up the danger of fluoridation, because, of course, there's so much fluoride that comes out of the smokestacks of our factories, and they could stop it from coming out, but they don't do that if they put scrubbers in. But then, of course, if they put scrubbers in, what are they going to do with the toxic material? Why, they've come up with a wonderful idea. They're going to put it in your drinking water. It's too toxic to store in drums, because it'll erode right through them. It's too toxic to put into a toxic dump, because it's too expensive. It's too toxic to take out to sea and dump, because it would contaminate the oceans. So they put it in your drinking water. What sort of madness is that? Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know about the Berkey Light water filters, we have a section on our website at radioliberty.com. Or if you'd like to get the items we mentioned, my talk on the hidden agenda, the syllabus, which is excellent, even if I do say so, the 2 4-tape sets on water fluoridation. Certainly, we have a book by David Kennedy about how to take care of your teeth. He's a dentist who's worked on this for a long period of time. And if you're not going to use fluoridated toothpaste, you're better off not to. But you can actually use various techniques to cut down the bacteria flora in your mouth. That's how to take care of your teeth, or save your teeth, I think, is David Kennedy's book. And then, of course, we hope you want to get his DVDs, our 4 tape sets. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But then they're poisoning us with aspartame. We have 4 tape sets on that. We have 2 excellent DVDs. One of them is called Sweet Misery. The other is called Sweet Remedy. If you're only going to get one, get the Sweet Remedy. We have 4 tape sets on on aspartame. And we have, of course, DVDs on aspartame. The Sweet Remedy and the Sweet Misery are for aspartame. We have DVDs on mercury, and those DVDs on mercury actually have interviews with Dr. Geyer, other people have worked on the fact that they're poisoning us with the mercury fillings. They're poisoning us with the influenza vaccine they want everybody to take. And why do they want us to take it when it doesn't work? Why, it's got a full dose of mercury, and everything would suggest that this is going to kill off the elderly much, much more readily. Please understand, we're dealing with, in my estimation, organized evil. And when you understand that, when you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll begin to glimpse what this is about. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. for our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here, not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Doug Wakefield, and we're going to be talking about what's going on in the world today. Hi, Doug. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Stan. Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on. I know it's late back there and part of the country you're in, but why don't you pick up the story? Certainly, Doug works with an organization called Best Minds. He writes a newsletter. He tries to get people to understand what's going on in the world today, not only from a financial point of view, but from a spiritual point of view. So you pick up the story there, Doug.
Well, let me just throw out tonight a couple of things that, from even the last time we talked. I guess in considering what we're all facing now, and from all different nations, all different religions, all backgrounds ethnically, I think the thing that impacts me the most first in the last 5 years of talking with people literally all over the world is that when we're facing what we're doing now is that we're looking at what scientists would say unknown unknowns. We get up every day and we go, okay, well, how can I invest? Well, I can invest in mutual funds, exchange-traded funds. I can invest in stock markets all over the world, bonds, derivatives. There's a whole litany of financial products out there. But I'm assuming that at the end of the day, whatever I'm doing, if I'm saving money, if I'm plugging away, that my situation is going to improve. And yet the last 18 months have been a real wake-up call all over the world for no, that's no guarantee. And part of that, I think, now is the question of, okay, how much longer before this is over with? And part of the difficulty here is not really understanding in context of history where we've come. And so from that standpoint, if you tell someone, okay, well, it, you know, depending on whether, for instance, today we know that the British stock market was down over 5%, but that's nothing uncommon in Europe. We could see the same in Spain and Sweden and other European markets. We came to the U.S., and, of course, the Dow is down 4%. How much longer is this going to go?
Well, because the thing is, you mentioned about what should we invest in, and the question is there anything we can invest in that is really safe today? Certainly, we invest in the stock market, it's going down. We invest in bonds, and of course, there's a possibility that the bond market could collapse. Some people think that the bond market is a bubble. And then, of course, as long as you're investing in things that are denominated in dollars, certainly the dollar is in danger of actual collapsing with hyperinflation down the line. So is there any safe place really for people to be investing in this day and age?
Well, and this is the very interesting part of what we're going through. I can't verify this. I've only, but it was a quote given to me 4 years ago when I was at a Austrian economics and investment conference. And but the CPA who made this comment to me, and it makes sense because von Mises certainly understood back in the 20s that a credit boom would always lead to a credit bust. It was just a natural part of printed paper cycles. And so from that standpoint, he said, you know, that from von Mises' standpoint, the boom cycle was for the entrepreneur, and the bust cycle became the speculator's market. So as we look at that, we have to realize a speculator is someone who is constantly moving. That's why the people who are able to capitalize on anything now have to understand swings and trends, even short term, and keep moving the money.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. All right. Our guest is Doug Wakefield. And, of course, you're talking about this being a speculator's market. But you have to be very agile on your feet to actually survive in this market. I think that you have to be either very lucky or you have to be a real student of this. The average person is not a student of it. I think Richard Russell said it best. And Richard Russell, as you know, is a longtime stock analyst. I can remember 46 years ago when Richard Russell, to me, was quite an old man at that time. I hate to think how old he is today, but Richard Russell recently said that he who loses the least wins. In other words, he who loses the least wins, not he who makes the most wins, but he who loses the least, because we are all going to lose before this is over. So you pick up the story.
Well, that's actually one comment that I have made since, and I'm sad to say I did not come across Mr. Russell's past until about 6 years ago. But I've repeated that same saying to people because they've said, you know, if they've entered, for instance, on the short side of the market back, let's say, around October 10th of last year. Well, if you started July 2007 when the Dow was around 14,000 and you were in it from there down to around the 7,400 mark on October the 10th, then you did very well. If you started on October 10th, from there into the beginning of this year, and that's your first experience, you got chewed up. And that is the difficulty on even a short strategy. If you're in gold, for instance, and you rode it up to the 1,000 point in March of 2008, you felt fantastic. You started as Dines, Jim Dines, another great legend in the investment industry, but calling that in 2001. But if you started at the top in 1,033 and then rode it back down to under 700, and you were especially in gold stock, which are even more volatile, you lost over half of your portfolio in a matter of 6 months. So this is a speculator's market, and makes it, and you're exactly right, it makes it extremely difficult for the average, if not almost impossible for the average person to navigate, because you do have to literally watch it day in and day out.
And so it's really, for the average individual, this is not the sort of market I think they want to be in. Would you agree with that or disagree?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this, and going back to even what you mentioned, I had an interview with Axel Merck of the Merck Hard Currency Fund. I think he's a very savvy individual, certainly understands currency. His fund actually invests in multiple of short-term paper, holds gold positions. And I asked
hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I was talking to Doug Wakefield, and just saying, you know, I don't know how anybody could really be investing in this market. Now, there's some people who can. There's some people who are going to be investing in currencies, investing in gold, but certainly they don't seem to follow any sort of a pattern. When you think gold's going to go up, it goes down. When you think the market's going to go down, it goes up. So basically, how do these very, very sophisticated experts make out in this such an uncertain and very volatile market?
Well, let me come back to the comment on Merck's fund, because I'll address the average person, and then I'll come back to much more the professional or the person who really wants to try to stay on top of different world markets. From Axel Merck's comment about currencies, I asked him, I said, you know, the question I'm being asked, and of course we have professional traders all the way down to the retail investor, and they're asking the same question. How, as I make trades and I place my money, how do I make it in a place where it's safe? And I said, so my question to you is, looking around the world at various places to hold money, how do you invest in something that's safe? And he said, that is a very good question. And really the answer is, there is absolutely nothing that you can say is 100% safe. And that is the reality. We don't know, as governments are printing money, well, that printing more and more paper money is not a safe concept. So that is not leading to a positive end. Now, who goes down first? Who stays strongest? That's a question, you know, everyone is asking. But there are strategies like he's doing where you try to say, I'm not trying to make 100% safe because it is no such thing. But I am trying to reduce my risk. And going back to Russell's comment, at the end of the day, once we get through this period, I want to try to have held on to as much as possible and been one of those individuals who's lost the least, not day to day, not week to week, but over this entire trend period.
I agree with you totally. But the thing that most people don't understand is we're living in a gigantic Ponzi scheme. Certainly, we've all heard of Bernard Madoff, who had a Ponzi scheme and stole $50 billion from the public. And he did this simply by actually paying out money, you know, out of the money that was coming in. He wasn't investing it. He wasn't making any money. He had to keep getting more and more investors so he could continue making the payoffs, but he wasn't generating any funds at all. And that's exactly what's happening with our current monetary system. It isn't engendering any funds, manufacturing funds. It's just making artificial payments. Certainly, as far as Social Security, it is a Ponzi scheme. It takes the money that comes in and immediately pays it out. But there is no Social Security fund. There's no Medicare fund. It is a gigantic Ponzi scheme. The whole fiat money system is a Ponzi scheme. They just keep making more and more and more and more money with absolutely nothing behind it. Tremendous prosperity. We had the greatest time, the greatest run-up, the greatest people buying new homes and buying new cars and taking wonderful carnival cruises, but with absolutely no productivity behind all of this tremendous amount of money. And now the day of reckoning has come. As the Madoff Ponzi scheme collapses, but as the Federal Reserve System central bank Ponzi system collapses, all throughout the world. So, really, what's going to be the end result of this, Doug?
Well, I think that's the most difficult part, Stan, because, I mean, looking at where we're going, if we go back into the 30s, which is a similar period of time, the British in 1931 removed the pound from the gold standard, the gold exchange standards at that time, and so there was no bank as of October of 1931, France and the Netherlands, it could hold the sterling and say, if we don't want to hold your paper currency, you'll exchange gold. And Britain was, nope. That ended in September 1931. So it changes the dynamics of international banking and the trust with your currency. Well, the same thing now is going on literally around the world, and not just with our currencies, but with the pound, with the yen, with other paper currencies, of everybody saying, who can we trust the most? I think the ultimate objective that continues to show up, Bank of International Settlements, George Soros spoke about this in the Financial Times back in the fall. You can see Paul Volcker has mentioned it recently. There is a lot of discussion that's gone on now for a number of years about an international currency. And even with Gordon Brown in London today speaking about the fact that there'd have to be a new global New Deal, there is an awful lot of discussion, and it looks like clearly, in my mind, it's not just random. It is planned for when this thing fell apart, the next thing would be some type of international currency.
But then how can we trust the international bureaucrats any more than we can trust our own bureaucrats not to simply keep printing more and more and more and more and more money? This is where you get the problem. Inflation is not a rise in prices. Inflation is an increase in the money supply, and as you increase the money supply, then the price of goods goes up. So how could we possibly, you know, trust international bureaucrats any more than we could trust those, our own bureaucrats, to do what was responsible and not eventually destroy the value of the currency? Why should we believe they'd be able to do it better than our own Federal Reserve system?
Frankly, Stan, I don't think you can. I think the history of money and politics shows the more you concentrate the power of more printed money in fewer hands, the more corrupt it becomes. We can see even with the passage of the stimulus bill, everyone can look through the litany of all sorts of pork belly things that come out of special interest of handing money for things that are totally worthless, and with money that is totally worthless. So if we go to an international currency, I think it will. I think it will accelerate even worse. Now, with that, as this continues to sound dire, I come back to the fact that one of the things in studying religions that has fascinated me is that there are three religions in the world that do have in their writings a discussion of a future world government. And clearly, if you have a world currency, and we've got the UN, World Trade, G7, I mean, a whole litany of already global governments, international court, it's no great leap, even if you leave all the countries' names the same, just to merge them more as far as governmental authority, and especially since the banks are already linked that way through the Bank of International Settlements. So as we come back to religions, it is interesting because humanism was based on, and it states in the Humanist Manifesto, it's religion, not just a philosophy, but a religion, that man had no power above him, and thus a group of men who were smarter, basically, who could handle the complex things, would be needed, the philosopher kings, to handle it for everyone else. And so this was the humanist solution. Get people, men, to hand that power over to, and they will solve the problem. Second was Islam, and Islam and the Shia religion, or Shia sect of Islam, was still looking today for the great Mahdi, who would, after 7 years of chaos, create 1,000 years of peace underneath an Islamic regime. And they are still looking, just like under the Ottoman Empire, to create a world of Islam governments. And then the last, of course, is Christianity, which the whole scriptures, other than two books in our Bibles, are written by the Jews. So the focus comes back to, at the end of this period of time, the day of the Lord, the end of the the end of time, as we is stated there in Scripture, is a period in which you're preparing for Christ to return on earth for 1,000-year period. Prior to that, there would be 7 years of what is called the Great Affliction. So as we look at these things, these are topics that we don't usually discuss because they're so painful, and everybody says, well, that's religion. Well, why is it that religious issues are such a dominant talk about a world government, and we seem to be on the heels very closely to the possibility in human history of establishing something like this?
Well, I think that it's coming. I don't think there's any question that there is a drive on the part of the people who really run the world here in the United States to bring about, they call it a new international order, but we're really talking about a world government. I just got a flyer on a book that's been written by Strobe Talbot. He's a member of all the Council on Foreign Relations and Bilderbergers, and I'm not sure whether he's trilateral commission or not, but Strobe Talbot has written a book called The Great Experiment, about the idea of creating a world government, a great experiment, this global state. And he represents, you know, this whole idea of this. And he works very closely. I mean, he's been the Deputy Secretary of State, key positions. He's one of the insiders. And he made it very clear, this is what they really want. They're afraid to tell the American people because we wouldn't understand that they're much smarter than we are, that they know what's better for us. This is why they've been shipping our manufacturing overseas and our jobs overseas and our wealth overseas to lower our living standards, to raise the living standards in the other countries. But they can't tell the American people that. They've got to tell them that, oh, we're going to make America great again. But they don't really intend that at all. I think they intend to create equality throughout the world, and then we're going to try the great experiment. But these are subversive people. They really hate America. They hate our Constitution. They swear to uphold it, but they don't mean that at all. This whole movement for the one world government is subversive, and these people who have sworn to uphold the Constitution should, I think, be tried and convicted and sent to prison for what they have done. They've destroyed the lives of so many people, and I believe they're in the process of destroying our economy today. What do you think?
I believe that you're right, exactly right. I mean, the acts clearly, if you were to look at them based on the Constitution, the original laws on treason, you would have numerous people that have come through very high levels of office. If you place them in a true court looking for truth, you would have to come up with treasonous acts.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Doug Wakefield, and we're talking about what's going on. We'll welcome your calls at 1-800-544-8927. Doug, go right ahead.
Stan.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My help-you-out-of-debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help-you-out-of-debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
To dump their products in our markets, you know, they've actually subsidized the products so they can dump them here. But, of course, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to let these products come in, undercut our producers, undercut our wages, and that's, of course, why we have these massive deficits. No, everybody says, you know, globalism is good, free trade is good. We don't have free trade. Other countries are protecting their economies, and we seem to be intent upon destroying ours. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think that going back to, you know, how did you get to the point to where you have UN World Trade, International Court, G7s, did all these things just come about overnight? No, if you look at the history of the 20th century, you keep seeing them. Various global organizations are established every few years. And so you have to then ask the question, well, did this just randomly come about? And somebody go, well, I think we need one of these. Or did they, someone intentionally say, there's an ideology driving this thing all the way through. And in my mind, whether it's the Fabians, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral, the theme seems to constantly be towards the philosopher king, that there is someone who really wants to sit atop of this group and dictate a socialistic policy of how many people you can get into the system. And the socialist system cannot work unless it has more and more debt, more and more fiat currency. Because the more debt you create, the more people you basically enslave to the system and to the political masters of that, saying, here's the direction we're going to go. And as more frightening it comes, the more people then, sad to say, if they don't watch, they go back to actually the same thing Paul told Timothy in the book of Timothy, that they are seeking to have their ears tickled. They want somebody to tell them what they really want to hear, and then they just don't want to see when they do not follow up in any way on what they promised the person.
I agree with you totally. I think that the difficulty is that right now the average individual has no idea what's going on. He has no idea why our economy is collapsing. He has no idea what's going to happen. He's a little frightened because he may lose his job and his home. And they don't understand that this thing has all been engineered by the people who want to redistribute the wealth of the world. In fact, they want to accumulate most of it themselves. I think we're seeing a great transfer of wealth, first of all, from America to other countries, and then from the average American to the people of great wealth. This is what people do not understand. There are literally trillions of dollars that have disappeared, whether it be in the Defense Department or what is going on today with Ben Bernanke, who is giving away trillions of dollars of our dollars, American taxpayers' dollars, and he won't tell anybody where they're going. And nothing could be done. Nobody in Congress has the courage to challenge him.
Let me, you know, I think with this, one of the things that to me is the inspiration to me that was the beginning of America, and if there's any prayer that we turn this thing around, it is going to be that you get down on your knees and you say, all right, there has to be a God. And if he is merciful and if he intervenes and we change the hearts of people and we change the hearts of men, then we have a chance. If it's left up to a bunch of men who say there is no God and we are going to somehow become more moral by creating more money and fewer hands, I see nothing in the history of mankind that shows that ever works.
No, because I personally believe if there's not a great revival in America, why we're going to lose this country. I think we're moving into the most dangerous and frightening and violent times that we've ever seen. And yet I don't think the average person has any concept that we could see almost a total breakdown of our society, which would require a military dictatorship just to maintain some semblance of law and order. We're seeing this south of the border. And, of course, remember that it was the American government that installed this unfair, this ruthless government down there some 75 or 85 years ago. It was basically the Masons in America who actually destroyed the Christian foundation of Mexico, installed a government where they have more billionaires in Mexico than all the rest of South America put together. You had a lot of people of great wealth, and then a lot of people were very, very poor. And this is one reason why they come across the border looking for a better life. And I don't blame them. I don't think we can allow it to happen because it's going to disrupt this country. But as violence becomes increasingly prevalent in Mexico, I think we're going to see more and more Mexicans coming north of the border to get away from the very violence that is being fomented by America's war on drugs, which, of course, is being produced by the American CIA. Okay. Well, Doug, you go right ahead.
Now, Stan, one of the things, coming back to this, you know, and the speed of stuff, one of the things that I think is to help people to understand that we can't go back is to really look at numbers in various publications that anybody can see. One of the ones, in fact, your friend of mine, Joan Vion, out of Washington, D.C., had sent me a copy. I went out, downloaded another copy off the Internet, but she sent me a hard copy of the Bank of International Settlements quarter review. This is on international banking and financial markets. And I just want to quote some numbers here because anyone can pick this document up. This was in December 2008, and you're looking at the world we live in. Now, bonds, international bonds, are a huge market. They run roads, governments, airports, all types of infrastructure going on around the world, as well as corporations. And it states in here, net issuance of bonds and notes decreased to $247 billion, down substantially from $1,086 billion in the second quarter. So that's just talking about a $750 plus billion contraction of the new bonds being issued around the world in one quarter. And you can't go back and just turn a switch and create that amount of new debt all over again. And that's the thing. As we look at Lehman's and you think it collapsed back in the fall, Lehman's is gone. Bear Stearns is gone. So when people talk about we're almost at the bottom and we're going to be coming out of this in a few more quarters, and you go, okay, well, where is the next Lehman? Where is the next Bear Stearns? Because where's the next Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac? These are almost, some of them century or more old, like Lehman's, that have gone under, and you don't replace a company of that global size overnight. And that is the end of an era thinking that must be understood if people are going to understand these numbers. There are huge contractions, and you just don't create that new business anywhere on the horizon right now.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's an interesting consideration. I think everybody's waiting until this is over and things get back to normal. And the tragedy is nobody's telling the American people that when we come out the other side of this this depression, or worse, if we're going to be an entirely different America. And I'm not certain whether we're going to have a better America or a worse America. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, Doug Wakefield. If you have a question about what's going on, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Doug Wakefield, of course, writes and newsletter about what's going on financially. And Doug, would you like to get your website out, information about your work?
Sure, Stan. Our website, if anyone went to a search engine, just typed in Best Minds. It's not my mind. It's a collection of people all over the world who feed me information through their writings, through their speaking, and I just talk with people all the time asking questions and trying to soak up stuff as a sponge. But it's bestmindsinc.com, and we do a ongoing newsletter as well as market reports, and those can be subscribed to through the Investment Mind newsletter, and that is found on our website as well.
All right, well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR if you'd like to give us a call. And it is my contention that if we're not going to go back to the world as it was, what sort of world we come out with on the other side will determine whether we go back to a solid currency, a gold-backed currency, we do away with the Federal Reserve System, this whole system collapses, and then, of course, we can begin building again. We do away with all of this debt instead of what the Obama administration and the Timothy Geithner and, of course, the Paul Volckers of this world really want. And that is, of course, they want to maintain this system under their control, this massive credit system, and they're hoping that they can just pour enough money into this system that was created by creating too much money. They think that they can just put more money in there, everything's going to be fine. It's sort of like fighting a fire with gasoline. A fire that was started with gasoline, you pour more gasoline on the fire, you think it's going to go out. It doesn't go out, it just burns all the brighter. We have a massive credit system, which has been brought about by banks being able to take a dollar and lend $40 based upon $1 they hold, or they have $10, and then they can lend out $400, not $40, but $400 based upon that. And of course, I think that some people have said that they think somebody had called in and said that the best thing to do would be to go to the biblical model and simply cancel out all the debt and just say, anybody's got debt, you no longer owe it, and we're going to start in all over again. What do you think about something like the Jubilee concept that's described in the Bible?
Yeah, I think that's the problem in looking at world history, is that where we're at, the ideal is there. It was found in the Torah that God had gave the Jews a certain amount of property in each of those tribes. As such, there's repeated talk of it is your land. At the end of this period, you come back to your land. As such, when you've harvested your field, you leave sheaves for the poor so that they can have the extra off the field. You let the land rest every 7 years because you trust that God will take care of you. That's where we came up with our individual property rights. There was no usurious interest charged on the poor. So you didn't have 18% credit card on somebody who makes, $5,000-$6,000 a year. I mean, you didn't have those things. And those are things that we violated the Jewish writings in the Torah in the first five books of our Bible. And because of that, we can't expect that God is going to bless a group of people who continue to violate the very things he told you. This would bring about contentment and peace in a community.
And I agree with you completely. I believe that the only way out of the mess we're in today is to let everything collapse, to let the debts collapse. The banks that have created the problem should go down, and certainly the people who are dependent upon those banks will go down, and then we can start in all over again. Otherwise, when we come out at the far end, we're going to have an authoritarian dictatorship, and freedom as we know it will simply become a remembrance of things past. We are living in the most dangerous and frightening and terrifying times in all of history, at least in recent history. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295. The market was down 300 points today. It is going to continue dropping until it gets... Right now, of course, if you look at the price-earnings ratio on our stocks, you know, it's about 25 to 1. It should be down at about 10 to 1. This is where I'd like to see it. And so it's got to drop an awful lot further before any of these corporations are going to be worthwhile investing in. And this is what nobody's telling you. The stock experts are saying, invest in the market, invest in the market. We're at a bottom. Do you realize, of course, we've lost, tens of trillions of dollars? It's estimated between 30 and 60 trillion dollars has simply evaporated throughout the world. We've lost something like $7 trillion of our housing value here in the United States. I mean, all this artificial value is simply disappearing. But because there was nothing there to begin with. This is what people don't understand. It's all been a mirage. It dwarfs anything that Bernard Madoff did, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he had only a $50 billion Ponzi scheme. The elite who created this whole problem have created a Ponzi scheme that's $60 to $100 trillion, if not more than that, in the derivative market out there. We're talking somewhere between $600 and $250 billion of derivatives, and when those come tumbling down, why, the whole house of cards collapses. Do you agree or disagree with that, Doug?
Well, I think that's the interesting fact, is like you're talking about, the derivatives. I was showing... gentleman today, he was grew up in China, and we were talking about the fact that and he didn't really, he knew some about derivatives, and I want to show you why we are, and he was a scientist by background. I said, I want to show you why scientifically, and I don't care what anybody's political side, what political party, what religious background, now we're just going to go to science, and why scientifically this can't work. And he says, okay, let's look at it. I said, here's the derivatives. Here's the amount of money in the top three banks and in the derivatives exposure according to the Office of Comptroller's Currency. Once again, information on the Internet available to anyone really just wanting to see it. And it shows there that there is well in excess of $100 trillion in Bank of America, Citicorp, J.P. Morgan in their derivatives book. Well, there's $175 trillion overall in the top 25 banks. That number is compared to a $15 trillion gross domestic product. So how in the world can you expect that if those things are collapsing and somebody says, I don't want that $1 trillion derivative, I want $1 trillion in cash, which you don't have, you certainly have to set up the system where somebody is going to lose an enormous amount of money, and it's not a person now. You're talking about states, governments, corporations, people all over the world. Because it's right. It's a scientific question. A system stacked with this much debt and the promise to pay cannot possibly pay.
And, of course, the thing is there's not enough money out there to meet all the debt.
No.
This is the thing. They've got all these debts, and there's only a certain amount of money. And it's like playing musical chairs. If you've got 100 people playing musical chairs, and you only got 6 chairs. And when the music stops, everybody's got to pay back their debts. But they don't have any money to pay it back with. There's only 6 chairs. There are only 6 people are going to be able to get those chairs, and the rest of the people are going to be standing there, and they're out of the game. And that's really what's going on today. It is the most vicious game of musical chairs I've ever seen. And the average individual doesn't understand. He got trapped in this thing because it was the thing to do. Everybody was doing it. As somebody said to me the other day, the American way is simply borrow and borrow and spend and spend and borrow and borrow and spend and spend. Isn't that the American way? No, it's not the American way. That is the path to destruction as far as I'm concerned. But you pick up the story there. And if you're out in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you agree, if you disagree, love to hear from you.
I want to throw out two stories that occurred to me in the last few months. These are just anecdotal stories. One was an individual, these are both people in the U.S., one individual Buddhist background. And she makes a comment to me. She says, you know, from what I've watched, she said, I did not understand the derivatives. I did not understand the debt. But from what I have seen, what has really impacted me in the last 2 years is that what we were living with was not real. We thought that everything, cars, houses, boats, travel, vacation, the clothes, everything that we had was because we had all of this wealth. And yet the reality now as we see it unraveling because it was just a house, a card stack, it's not real. So it, and I would poo-poo, I would not even discuss spiritual issues with people because I thought, well, that's just religious preference, that's just that. But now I believe that this is the number one thing that people are turning to spiritually now. Why am I here? Why am I living in this point? What is my destiny? On the other hand, I had a conversation with an individual who was of a Christian background and made the comment to me, well, look, I'm telling my clients, don't do anything other than what I'm doing. Well, what's that? I'm taking my investment statements and I'm placing them in the drawer because I know if I just am courageous enough, in the long term, I will see these losses turned into gains by holding on. And so there was no way of convincing the second person, wait a minute, there's no guarantee in life that if I eat the right foods that I can step out in front of a bus and it won't hit me. I mean, think about what we're talking about here. But it is these beliefs of, is this something I can talk about? And it was really interesting because one was Buddhist and one was Christian, and yet it really wasn't their religious. The religion at the end of the day was, is money something that man can fix through fiat currency? If you come to the belief that no, it's not, now you have to talk about spiritually why I'm here on this earth, because this is very frightening. If, on the other hand, man can fix it, they can print enough money until it turns around, well, then I really have a humanist viewpoint that there needs to be a whole bunch of complex people sitting in Washington solving my life until my life turns back to normal.
And, of course, the thing is that when we stop and think that it took 100 or 200 years to amass $1 trillion in debt, that was the period between 1789 and 1980, 200 years, we had a federal debt of $1 trillion in 1980. And, of course, when Ronald Reagan ran against Jimmy Carter, he was really critical. He said, you know, under Jimmy Carter, we've gone to $1 trillion in debt. Jimmy Carter spent $200 billion deficit in a four-year period. Well, then Ronald Reagan got in, and in an eight-year period, he ran up a federal deficit of $1.7 trillion. It was almost twice as much as, of course, we'd raised during a 200-year period. But then let's fast forward to the year 2009. In the year 2009, it's estimated, a very conservative estimate, that the federal deficit at this year will be $1.75 trillion. And that's very, very conservative because I think it's going to be well over $2 trillion. In other words, Ronald Reagan in 8 years ran up the federal deficit $1.7 trillion. Right now it's $1.75 trillion for this 1 year, and I think it's going to be much more than that. It will probably be twice in that much next year. And where's the money going to come from? How do you spend money that you don't have? Well, if you do and I do it, why are we getting into trouble if the federal government does it? They have a way out. If they can't borrow it, why, of course, they simply produce it. They simply print it. And then you end up moving it towards a situation like they have in Zimbabwe today, or they had in Russia in the early 1990s, or as they had in Sydney, Australia 5 years ago, when, of course, rampant inflation, then they simply one day woke up and their currency was worth about 25 cents on the dollar. But we'll be lucky. We'll be very lucky if we maintain that much in the value of our currency. And certainly one of the things that really sort of amuses me is Barack Obama is saying that he's only going to tax the rich. He's only going to tax those who make over, $250,000 a year if they're a couple. What nobody ever comments is that with inflation, we all may be waking well over $250,000 a year, you know, because that's the end result of a massive expansion of the amount of money in this in circulation. But the trouble is, you may not be able to buy a Big Mac. It'll cost you $100 for a Big Mac. This is the way we're headed, and nobody is telling the American people that. And you go ahead and you just stay in your stocks. They're going to come back again. They may come back in 20 years, but the dollars you get back may not be worth anything. What are your thoughts on that, Doug?
Well, and I think, you know, it's an excellent point, especially when we go back. And as Americans, I think the one thing that we've got to continue to do is talk to people who grew up in other cultures, other religions, other parts of the world, and try to understand, hey, we have our debt so stuffed in banks all over the world that our own future, I mean, I read this the other day, I think we made the comment on the last show. When you think about right now, this happened the last couple of days, you go to the United States Treasury and you see the international capital flows. How much money is actually being, or when we have treasury auctions. So the treasury auctions have been, you know, greatly expanded. We just introduced again the 12-month and the 3-year treasury note. We also have the 7-year treasury note that was done away in 1993, came back. These are very short-term periods, especially a 12-month note to fund a country, and yet you realize part of that is because the other countries who are borrowing are buying our debt. That's how Obama or Congress or anybody does this, is you've got to have somebody outside of the United States buying a ton of it. Well, who was number one on the list once again a couple of days ago? It was China. Well, as China, I just found this actually in the last week. There's a book that they produce evidently annually by the Communist Party called Yellow Book of Global Socialism. And it talks about, I read part of the excerpts from the 2006, so now almost 3 years old, talking about the fact that as the Communist Party, one of their goals was to do away with capitalism and move towards a global socialist type of program. And that being the case, this is the country that buys the most of your debt. I mean, if you ever wanted to talk about financial warfare, we have placed our hands, our country, in the hands of the Chinese who want to have a global socialist regime.
And I agree with you totally. There's a great deal, I think, to be very, very frightened about. Well, Doug, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's gardeninacan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Because I think this is the only thing at this point in history that is going to save America. Doug, it's been a pleasure to have you with us. We'll look forward to having you on our morning program here in the very near future.
Thank you, Stan.
Good night. God bless.
Good night. God bless.
Okay, fine. Well, I hope our listeners out there have enjoyed the program. And certainly, we are behind everything today, engaged in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. If you want to really put things into perspective, why, we hope that you'll read my November, December, and January newsletters. They're very important. They're very, very educational. But then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get Pastor Billy Crone's series on the Final Countdown. How do we put what's going on financially and from historically into perspective? And the Final Countdown does a magnificent job of that. We have the DVDs now. Of course, there are 5 in each set. There are 10 points from 10 to 1. And, of course, the first 5 are in the first set. The second 5 are in part 2. And, of course, you can get them together at a reduced cost or get them separately and watch them through. And there's a tremendous amount of work has gone into it. The scriptures for everything that's going on are there. And then, of course, there's wonderful video clips that will really help you understand what's going on. These things are not accidental. There is a move towards a world religion. There is a move towards a world government. The children of Israel have returned to the Holy Land for the first time in 2,000 years. All of these things were prophesied, and, of course, we're told that one time the time will come where you'll neither be able to buy nor sell, lest you wear the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name. Well, that's the Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we've got a great new DVD on vaccines and brain development, a talk that was given by Dr. Blaylock at our last conference. You'll really want to watch this to understand how they're destroying the minds of our children. For more on, certainly on water fluoridation, you need to get the 4 tape sets we have, the DVDs we have on water fluoridation. Understand they're destroying the lives of our children. My talk on the hidden agenda and the syllabus that goes with that is the first step to beginning to understanding what's going on. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. And, of course, we hope they'll go there. You'll read our newsletters, listen to our programs, watch our DVDs, watch our section on other videos, because, of course, there's a lot of wonderful links there. And we've watched them all. Only things that we think are worthwhile are up there. In fact, we just posted today where Congressman, I hope it'll be up posted, it'll be posted very soon, where Congressman Paul questions Paul Volcker and asks, what are you doing? What's happening at these international meetings? And Paul Volcker obviously has no intention of letting the American people know what they have planned for us. And Paul Volcker, of course, is the the chairman, the permanent chairman of the North American Group at the Trilateral Commission. He was formerly chairman of the Fed. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and Bilderbergers. He's one of the architects of everything going on today. And he's the chief financial advisor to Barack Obama. But then Barack Obama is surrounded with people from the Trilateral Commission. Their goal and objective was to seize control of the government of the United States. They do. They represent the large financial interests in this country, people who are dedicated to the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World currency, and, of course, of the destruction of Christianity.